This is the All Day Ruckoff Podcast, episode number 5. Welcome to the All Day Ruckoff Podcast, episode number 5. This is your host, Brian, and in this episode, I interview Jack and Kevin from Evergoods. I feel very lucky that I was able to get some of their time as they are in the middle of a very busy Kickstarter campaign. Make sure to listen through to the end of the interview to get details on how to join our next contest for a free entry into the Pathfinder Ruck Training Program. Now, on to the interview. I'm here talking with Jack and Kevin from Evergoods. Jack is the CEO of Evergoods and was co-founder of GoRuck, as well as the head of product. Kevin is the head of product for Evergoods and hails from Patagonia, where he worked in their advanced R&D center called The Forge. Evergoods just launched their Kickstarter campaign for two backpacks named the CPL-24 and the MPL-30, and fully funded within 4 hours. I'm truly humbled that the guys are taking time out of their day to chat with me with everything going on for them. So Jack and Kevin, how's it going?
First of all, we're humbled that you want to talk to us. So we're doing pretty good, man. Thanks for having us.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say thanks again for taking the time. I know you guys are very busy. Just this morning, you broke 100,000 on Kickstarter, which is incredible. And I think that's a huge success. So let's get the interview started.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, thanks, man.
We've read the website, watched all the videos, but there's nothing like hearing people talk about projects they love. Can you explain the idea of Evergoods to us?
Yeah, we both come from backgrounds in the sewn goods industry. Jack focused heavily on backpacks. I worked at Patagonia doing a lot of apparel and different things. And I think we really wanted to bring to market equipment that had the attention to fit and detail and kind of high quality construction that you expect out of really high level kind of alpine brands. But we wanted to make product of that caliber for a little more everyday use.
Yeah, you know, gosh, I live in Bozeman, Montana, and we have access to this extraordinary mountainscape and everything, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret here. We don't actually get in those mountains as often as you might think from our IG posts. So the truth is that we're really busy and we're in town a lot. We're married. I've got 3 dogs. And gosh, the old model seems to be that, you know, in the outdoor space is that you build for the pinnacle athlete and then the rest of us want to be just like them. But we're not. We're not like them. And we can't always do the things that they can do. And nor do I. When I do go out into the mountains, am I replicating their user experience? So I just think that our stuff sort of like for the everyman, you know, outdoor user. Yes, when you get outside and get active, the stuff has to absolutely fit and perform. But when you're not out in the field, which is most of the time, it still needs to be absolutely useful for you.
And have an aesthetic that feels appropriate in town and is comfortable.
That's right.
I love that. As a father of two and a dog owner, I completely understand. We don't get out as much as we would like. Our daughter's 6 weeks old, so rarely getting out at this point. The backpacks I'm using are making a lot more trips to work than they are into the mountains. So
totally. Congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
New addition.
So how did you two come together to form Evergoods? How did you meet? What's that story like?
Bozeman has got this gravitational pull in the outdoor space for people that work in design, development,
engineering. Cool architecture here. People are making and doing things.
That's
here.
Right. And a lot of that has to do with its proximity to the places where you're developing gear for. It's also an extraordinary quality of life. And there happens to be a guru in the outdoor gear R&D space that lives here in this valley. His name is Richard Siberell, and he's in this valley, and he's got his own shop here. The guy has the tools and machinery to kind of make everything. And he actually ran Patagonia's R&D back in the day. They actually had a facility here in Bozeman for some number of years. And when I moved here for GoRuck and heard that someone like that lived here, I thought, well, if I don't make an effort to get to know this person and possibly have some of their expertise rub off and filter back into GoRec, then I'm a fool. And so I began a process of asking Richard to work for GoRec about every 6 months, knowing that he would always say no. Ultimately, I didn't always even have work for him necessarily, but eventually he told me that there was a guy that was going to move here that he, when he did get here, he would introduce to me. He introduced the two of us and actually brought Kevin on, and he did some contract design and development work for GoRec. Kevin and I bonded over a certain way of working, and unfortunately, when I left GoRec to stay in Montana after Jason McCarthy, CEO and founder of GoRec, wished to relocate all aspects of GoRec under one umbrella in Florida, I was trying to understand what I was going to do next, and Kevin and I met for coffee or I don't know what, just, you know, so that I could sort of flush out what I was hoping to do next. And I mentioned this sort of fledgling idea for a brand. And this started, I think, a series of meetings where we just rapped and vibed about around product for a couple months. And eventually on the third, fourth, fifth meeting, I don't know which one, we just decided that we should just do this together. So in a nutshell.
Yeah. That's pretty accurate. I'll just fill in the backstory for Richard from my end that I was a sample maker at Patagonia for several years and then worked advanced research and development. And Richard is a contractor with Patagonia. So he would come to the Ventura office pretty regularly to present projects that he was working on. And so we met there. And then I started then traveling to Bozeman to his shop to work on projects for Patagonia. He's kind of a mentor of mine, and we just have respect for each other, and we do similar types of work, and you know, we've always kept in close touch. And through coming to his shop here in Bozeman, you know, every time I'd come to Bozeman, I'd have more and more conversations with people that were making and doing interesting things. And Bozeman just had this kind of real maker vibe and kind of an entrepreneurial vibe. And it's beautiful, and there's, you know, some pretty big name outdoor brands that are headquartered here. So when it came time for me to decide to leave Patagonia and kind of strike out on my own, Bozeman's where I wanted to move.
I love it. Well, huge thanks to him for bringing you two together, because it sounds like without him, there would be no Evergoods.
Yeah, who knows how it would all go down, but outdoor industry is a pretty small family, I feel like. Mm. The longer you spend in this industry, you kind of start to know lots of people, and all the circles seem to kind of bleed together, which is neat.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what has been your favorite part about adventuring out on your own and starting a brand new company?
I like the idea that Jack and I get to work in the way that we think is best, the way that we know how. We get to chart the course and decide how to proceed. I think that's probably the bottom line of having your own business.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my favorite part, the reason I'm in the outdoor industry is through GoRec, and then I fell in love with product and development and all these other things. But there's something really great about the idea that we're executing through processes that we believe are the way to approach projects and controlling that from start to finish until we get into a manufacturing partner's facility. It's time consuming, it's expensive, but it's our voice and it's our way. And there's a clear delineation with that. If we're right or wrong, it's on us, you know, and we're in the driver's seat, and that's what we want to be. I also enjoy being engaged in all manner, all aspects. Kevin actually is the true sort of designer of the product. You know, even at GoRec, I was more somebody that would be a creative head and drive the direction of everything and manage the projects, but I wasn't making the samples, you know. So I get to work very closely with Kevin on the product, but then I also get to be the conduit that shares what we're doing back with this sort of audience. And that is a really unique challenge on how to do that, how to have a message that we think is really simple and has a through line that is, okay, what are we doing in terms of product? Why are we doing it, the product? And how are we going to put this product together? With what materials? And then with who are we going to partner to build it? And I think that what I've seen in the last period of years in the marketing scape is this need to distill your brand essence down into a 2-inch by 2-inch Instagram square. And I, I don't really believe life works that way. I understand why it resonates and you've got to do it. But I think the amazing thing about relationships in life is that they evolve and adjust depending on the consistent interactions that you have with people in your life. And we're hoping that Evergoods can sort of more model that approach to engagement with our consumer. So if we were to have pictures of us as sort of makers wearing, you know, leather goods and tool belts and all these sorts of things and like play up this sort of like maker vibe. And I think you can end up positioning yourself in a corner where do you go from there in terms of that dialogue with your customer base? If you tell them, hey, we already know exactly what we are, I don't know how you allow them to engage in the conversation and then be a part of that continued story.
I'd like to add that the starting your own brand experience, this is a really special time in the beginning. You will never start Evergoods again. It's pretty magic. When you get hired on to an existing company, they've got an existing culture, an existing product line, and those lines, you know, already have kind of a meaning, and they've got they're in a little box, and they sit in this box on the shelf next to all the rest of the product, and it's fairly determined. And that's fine, but it was really magic, I think, for both of us to envision what Evergoods would be. You know, when we started talking about product, I think we had a decent idea of what kinds of products we wanted to make. But rather than just decide, okay, this is going to be our first product, we actually laid out on a whiteboard like 4 years worth of product, just envisioning the brand being years old and having, you know, a dozen or 50 products. And we just put them on the board of what they'd be and how we would categorize them.
And when we would launch them.
And how we would structure the company in the future. And then once we had a decent vision of that, we sort of worked backwards to figure out what the first products would be. And so we put a lot of thought into what the categories are and how to really define what the product is. And that's a really special exercise to get to go through.
Mm.
And I think it's an important exercise because once you start down a path, it's not that you can't ever change, but you're setting the course for the future, which is really cool.
Yeah. And the beauty of it, to add to that, is that now we have a customer engaging with this product, and we have this sort of web we've built out over the next 4 years, but it's also not absolutely set in stone. That will also act as a guiding pathway moving forward. So it's a very fluid and organic way to look at product lifecycle over a period of years and kind of set some parameters or define some parameters. And then, of course, you can shift and adapt within that.
So speaking of community engagement and involvement, which you were just mentioning, it's been really fun to watch the creation process through your blog. You've been very transparent and have come to the Evergoods community with questions and ideas on coloring, material types, and it's been really fun to watch the engagement there. What prompted your decision to provide that level of transparency?
Oh my goodness. You know, I think it was last September, October, we weren't very far removed from having gone through some investment meetings with some folks that were interested in backing Evergoods financially. We hadn't yet determined to do Kickstarter, didn't know a whole lot about Kickstarter at the time. And I spent a lot of my nights looking at what we'd accomplished at GORUCK. Jason, of course, has done a remarkable job of his ability to engage with GORUCK's consumer base. And I actually came across a podcast that interviewed a second time entrepreneur who I felt I shared some similarities with. He'd been a part of a pretty known hunting brand and had left after some time and had decided to start a new brand. And it was an audacious approach that he was taking, and he wasn't sure he wanted to go on and take investment right away and thus give up, you know, sort of control of the brand ID overnight. And he in fact started a blog, and it found its way and filtered into some hunting blogs, and he was able to create this sort of following. And then when they eventually went, you know, he eventually did a pre-sale, which he hadn't planned to do until such time as this blog sort of happened. And he spent, you know, 9 months engaging with this community. And I came back in, I think the night after I found this, and I said, Kevin, we're going to do a blog. So the upside is that I'll learn how to engage with the consumer. I'll also learn how to share content because, you know, Jason did all that stuff over the years at GORUCK. I said, and I need that training, that on the ground training. The real upside would be if anybody actually starts to follow along. And so we started out on that, expecting nothing other than to learn through the doing of it. And I'm pretty stoked that we did, because we did in the end build up a bit of an audience. And I mean, I just from looking at sort of the metrics of our funding in 4 hours, it came from sort of this community, you know, almost immediately. And wow.
And I got to give hats off to Jack Barley for just spearheading all the customer engagement and social media and everything. I think Jack and I are kind of yin and yang in a lot of ways. And I think that makes us strong partners. But I mean, it's not something that I would know enough about to do or really have a mind to do. I'm kind of an introvert. And anyway, I think it's been awesome seeing the blog come together and reading comments from people that want to talk to us. And it's incredible. And I'm just really glad that Jack is able to put that together.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, you've been fantastic.
And you've done an incredible job on that, Jack. I think you've responded to literally every comment on there. So I know everyone feels very included.
Yeah, honestly, I remember Jason talking about sort of stuff like this in the early days of GoRuck that I couldn't relate to because I wasn't the one doing it. But my God, when you are starting a new thing and you're putting your not only your money into it, but also more valuable, your heart and your soul, and people start to actually care and say, wait a minute, I want to talk to you. That is currency that you cannot imagine the value of. And so first it was a message or two messages. And then when it became 30 or 40, you just feel like this is who's listening. So let's be grateful and talk to them. So that's what we did. And we'll continue to do that. I have personally responded to every Facebook message, Instagram stories response, comment on the Kickstarter, and I will continue to do so. And I'm delighted to have that responsibility.
I love it. That's awesome. Before we move into the two packs, I wanted to touch on a concept that you guys mentioned on your website about the perfect pack. Mm. It seems like everyone is always looking for that one pack that will solve all of their issues, whether they're real issues or imaginable issues. And marketers love to cater to that idea. So as a company, you said your philosophy is that there is no perfect pack, which is why you have two available on your Kickstarter.
Sure.
So can you elaborate more on that idea and where it came from?
Yeah, go, you start it, then I'll follow.
Well,
go.
Anybody that loves packs probably has six or a dozen, right?
I got about 20 in my closet right now.
Yeah, easily. You should see our gear room here. I don't know, man, like, is there a perfect pair of pants? No. Is there a perfect shoe? No. Are you going to go running or are you going to a formal dinner? There isn't one thing that serves all needs, and packs are the same. I think trying to market that you've come up with the perfect pack is great marketing fodder, but it just at the end of the day, I just don't believe it can be.
So part of what drives us is not just wanting to be honest with our consumer, and honest means not giving them a line like this is the best thing ever made, because it's not true. That's disingenuous. I think it's deceitful, quite frankly. And it's neat that people want to buy into this little like inside story about like, yeah, they're telling me this is the best thing ever. And I believe them. And like, but it's not real. It's not true, you know? And so I think that the truth be told is we wanted to launch three packs, that it's three packs. So the two we did and the one we didn't still don't encapsulate the breadth of human user. It's the three that equate the lifestyle that we're selling towards at the moment. Of course, we will, if we're lucky enough to get off the ground, begin to sell more packs and more items over time, you know? So we're also driven, like we work behind the scenes here, we're driven by being taken seriously and respected by our peers in the design world. And so if we're the guys that are making the packs and doing the marketing, we have some friends that might not look us in the eye anymore when we meet for beers, if we were to tell our consumer base that we've made the perfect be-all, end-all product. So we're trying to save face here, you know?
I think additionally, you know, when it comes to the design process, anytime you go to make anything, you are presented with literally thousands of decisions to make. And you get into territory where there is not a right or wrong answer. There are simply compromises or scales of what's important. So we try really hard up front to have a really solid product brief. I mean, we do have a solid product brief before we begin working, but I just mean that a pack or anything, it can't do everything. I think if you try to get something that does everything, it's probably just mediocre at best at most of those things. I think you really need to have a point of view, say this is what this thing is for, and then every decision that you make regarding what the materials are, how the thing's laid out, how it's built, what you do, what features it has, what features it doesn't have, they all have to revolve around that point of view. my point of view is everything. There's no way.
Yeah, there's nothing random about what these packs do. And in fact, being so clear up front about not only what the objectives are, but also their order of importance.
Yes.
For instance, fit and carry, if that's number one, and while Kevin is working in the patterning phase, gets to a point where there are some tricky patterning decisions to make, often we're presented with a road. You go this route and you affect potentially the visual aesthetics of the product, but you maintain that excellent carry. You go this route, it's more beautiful, but the carry's not as good. Well, when we've already defined that the carry is the number one issue for this product, that makes the decision for us. And it will over, by holding ourselves accountable to these objectives, over time, we stay more authentic and true to the core mission of Evergoods.
I think too, in line with that, I think when the product gets very highly developed, when it gets really optimized, your priorities start to bump into each other. Like if you're making a sleeping bag, of course you want the sleeping bag to be warmer and you want it to be lighter weight. But these two factors oppose each other. You can do a lot of work and make a really light, warm sleeping bag, but once you really optimize both of those, you get to a point where
it's as warm or as light as it's going to be together,
right? Yeah, it's not going to get any warmer without being heavier, or it's not going to get any lighter without being less warm. And then you got to decide what it is that you're making.
I love that vision. That's great. You guys are just putting it out there like that. It's perfect.
So Kevin, you know, working at Patagonia, worked in this advanced R&D facility that was, you know, like working on all sorts of stuff for years that never saw the light of day there. And then there's this like sort of big marketing arm there. And what's been neat for me to get to know Kevin is to start to understand the opposing forces that drive what's driving the art. The forge is not what's driving marketing. Okay. And here's the beauty for Evergoods. The design room and the boardroom are the same room. And so because we're up front on the same page, that's how we are product driven, is that we're not going to allow some marketing need to affect the decisions that we're making with that product. Rather, we determine what the product is and we let that then drive. And if we can, the product development, and if we can then execute that product to a standard that we agree with, then we sell that thing and we tell that story.
And that is the marketing method.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you guys are starting out with two packs, the CPL24 and the MPL30. So obviously people can check out the website, check out the Kickstarter for all of the details on them. Coming from you guys, what do you like the most about both of those packs? And what to you makes them special?
I really love the feature set that's in the packs. And when I say the feature set, these packs actually don't have a lot of kind of straps and buckles and things on them. We've done a lot of work with patterning and pocket layout and things. I feel like the bags are really considered and very thoughtful. And a lot of that comes down to patterning and shape, which is work that I really respond to and like to do. I think they're kind of subtle in that way.
So the people that have used them or tested them, of course, they're pretty when you look at them, but they're kind of simple. And then they get them and they realize how complex they are, that there's any number of carry options. You can carry it on the side, top, wear it on body, side access, side load, full panel load. We've got built-in volume and pocket layouts throughout both packs. They're incredibly versatile. And what's really super is that they also both have a really ergonomic three-dimensional shoulder strap construction that makes them fit in a way that I've not experienced with day bags in particular.
Well, I'm very excited for December to come then, because I want to give that a try.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that too.
So we've seen some different colorways on the website. The initial offering through the Kickstarter, will that be in black?
It is in black. We're having discussions now on if and when we're going to release the next color. Here's what it really comes down to. We're sourcing, these fabrics are made to order, and they're made from really incredible mills that produce product for the likes of Patagonia and Arc'teryx and North Face and anybody else, right? And they're incredible fabrics, but we have to order a certain amount of them. And we also have certain limitations building product in America. The factories here are really good, but they're smaller. They're not the size of factories overseas that have hundreds and hundreds of sewers and all sorts of advanced optimization and engineering. So everything that we add into the flow costs us more money, which we are trying to raise through Kickstarter, but then also gets into the ability of our American manufacturing partners to scale. So a new color means a new sewing line that they may or may not have, and on down the line. And so we're having to sort of see how it all goes to then determine if we can actually, in good faith, release another color and then deliver on our shipping date promise. And if we can, we will launch another color before this campaign is out.
Awesome. That's exciting.
There are so many moving parts to, I think, manufacturing something. It's pretty incredible.
So which of the two packs do you guys find using yourselves the most?
Well, I'm working way too much right now. I'm commuting a lot between here and work, and I'm using the CPL quite a bit. But MPL is it's a really special bag for me. Jack and I know what went into getting the fit and carry right, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's been, people that have used the MPL have said it's like getting a hug from a backpack. This will bring me back into sort of confines of building in America as well. We wanted a fit with the MPL that is really sort of extraordinary and articulated. If we were building these things overseas, you might use some technology to arrive at that fit, thermal molding and some other things.
Lamination.
That would allow you to arrive at that in a way that is really beautiful and techie. But there are facilities that are vertical here in America where all of these things can happen under one roof at a manufacturing level. So we were forced to arrive at this same level of fit through patterning and construction techniques. And I think at the end of the day, first of all, that is incredibly difficult to arrive at, and I believe we've succeeded. But at the end of the day, it's also made these products that have the same technical fit as some more technical product. I think it gives them a really sort of timeless look and appearance that sort of sets these things up to be future classics.
Yeah, I would say too, they should be like really long lasting. I mean, all of the construction techniques it's just traditional sewing. And by that, I just mean that it's kind of tried and true, and there's nothing to delaminate because we didn't laminate anything. Like the glue isn't going to come apart because there's not any glue in it. It's all pretty straightforward. I mean, the patterning is complex, but the putting it together is...
Well, it's as straight as we could get it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So hopefully my kids will be able to use mine.
Yeah, we would love... Yeah, we'd love that.
let's do it.
Yeah.
Flash, let's live between now and then, but I hope that's a reality.
So again, I need to say congrats that your Kickstarter reached 100% within the first 4 hours. You're at over 100,000 now. That's incredible. You mentioned that you roadmapped 4 years for Evergoods. Is there anything that you want to announce or talk about that the future might hold? I know on your website you did mention an APL pack. Is that the third you were talking about?
That would have been the third pack. Will that become the third pack once we get through this and into manufacturing and then start to think about product? It very well may become the next product. You know, man, if we had the funds, we were going to launch just a mirrored line of packs and apparel, and that would have been very expensive to do so. So we just determined that if we could anchor ourselves through luggage and start to get an awareness that way initially, that would then give us the platform to come in with apparel subsequently and then be taken seriously in the apparel market. You can make an incredible pair of pants, but it's very difficult to differentiate that pair of pants from the other pants available in the marketplace, you know? So once this Kickstarter closes down, we're going to we're already placing fabric orders, but we're going to get this stuff rolling in our manufacturing facilities, make sure that's off to a good start, and then we're going to begin talking about what's next from a product perspective.
I would say as far as like planning out into the future, I think you have to make plans just so that you can kind of point the compass and start heading in a direction, but by no means will you end up in the place where you thought you would. It's really just a means to point the needle and start going, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we heard that you're donating 1% of your gross revenue to the Gallatin Valley Land Trust. Can you elaborate on that?
Living in Bozeman is a blessing, and the crossover lifestyle is personified here. The motto for the Gallatin Valley Land Trust is Main Street to the Mountains. And I think for us to grow and be successful in Bozeman, it's going to also require us to be impactful in this community so that it can grow in a way that where the lifestyle is maintained and where others hopefully come here and also wish to bring their families and work and be a part of it. And so we want to give back. We are going to be giving back as sort of a long-term investment in the town, but also in the viability of Evergoods existing here.
Yeah, Jack mentioned their tagline is Main Street to the Mountains, and that's true. One reason that we felt like the Gallatin Valley Land Trust was a really good fit is that half of the work that they do is sort of conservation of open spaces, which is absolutely vital. But then the other half of the work that they do is urban planning so that we can, because Bozeman's growing, everywhere's growing, it's not going to stop. putting work into kind of efficiently planning and using the space as we develop it slows the consumption of outdoor spaces. We felt like that combination of town to trail, if you will, or urban and outdoor sort of personified was a good fit.
Yeah. For our goods. I mean, we literally have a trail system that is in our town. You can connect from one side of the town to the other, from the north side to the south. These trail systems also take you into the mountain ranges in several directions. I mean, it's really, and they are responsible for the upkeep of all of these trails that we have in town. I mean, it's really exceptional.
Yeah, they all connect. I mean, you could hike for days if you wanted.
From Main Street.
Thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me. I truly appreciate it, and I know you guys are super busy. Where should people go to find out more about Evergoods?
I would say go to our Kickstarter campaign, and it's such a long URL that I can't repeat it, but
I'll post it on the site. I'll post it in the show notes.
Kickstarter campaign is it's got all sorts of great info.
Yeah, you can go to Kickstarter and search Evergoods, one word. We're also, our website is www.evergoods.us, and that website should link to the Kickstarter campaign also.
Awesome. Thanks so much again for taking the time to chat. And for everyone listening, hit up the Evergoods Kickstarter campaign, the Evergoods website, and also check out Evergoods on Instagram because they've got a great Instagram page there.
Hey, thanks for your interest.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Rock Off podcast, episode number 5. To learn more about Evergoods and to get links to everything we talked about during the show, visit the show notes at alldayruckoff.com/podcast/episode-005. To learn more about All Day Ruck Off, you can visit us at alldayruckoff.com. Did you enjoy the show? We'd love a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. Think we can do something better? Send an email directly to me at brian@alldayruckoff.com. Want a chance to win a free entry into the Pathfinder Ruck Training Program? Leave a comment on our website at alldayruckoff.com/podcast/episode-005, stating which Evergoods pack you're most excited about. After a week, we'll randomly choose a winner. Thanks again, and remember, attitude is everything, keep yours positive, and drink hard, rock harder.